Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Well, I wanted to begin with a bit of a thought experiment. We are being wonderfully led in sung worship, as we are week by week, by our fabulous musicians. Like Ben, playing the keys, playing with all the skills and the passion that God has given to you. Ben, we're so thankful for you. Bring that each week. But I want you to imagine that what it would be like if Emmanuel were full of only keyboard players, but not much else. Okay, so if keyboard playing was the number one requirement for serving in church life. Now, no offense, Ben, you're wonderful, but that would be a bit of a disaster, wouldn't it? I mean, think about it. If anyone new came, there would be no one to welcome them because we'd all be crammed up here with countless keyboards trying to play all at the same time. There would be no one, in fact, with the gift of administration. So we wouldn't know which week we were on keyboard playing. And so we would all turn up every week all at the same time. And ironically, there would actually be no one to make us audible either. There would be no one in the wonderful production team there, no one on the desk, no way of amplifying all the keyboards anyway. Now, it is a ridiculous idea, I know, but it's nonetheless takes us to something of what we're going to be hearing this evening. Because last week we began to explore the spiritual gifts and this wonderful part of God's word, 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14. And Corinth, the Christians in Corinth, had a bit of a only one kind of gift really matters mentality about them. It wasn't the keyboard, it was things like speaking in tongues, things like having persuasive skills in speaking. Those were the things that the Corinthians thought, well, we just need those kind of people. And so Paul is writing this part of the letter to correct their perspective. And he does that in four ways in these words that Miriam read for us. And we're just going to look at each of them briefly in turn this evening. First off, Paul wanted them, he wants us, to be in no doubt that as a church, they are one body with many parts. One body with many parts. Do keep that passage open, your device, or on the Bible in front of you. It'll be on the screen as well. So look with me at verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So Paul is saying, look, the church, this is everyone who has received the Holy Spirit. Everyone who, he says, has been baptized by one Spirit. Now, happy to say more about this afterwards if anyone wants to chat about it. But that is not, I don't think, teaching, as some, I think, have mistakenly claimed, that you need an extra event after your conversion called baptism in the Holy Spirit, apart from your conversion. That doesn't seem to make sense of the language here. There is not a hint of this being an experience that just some Christians have, but others don't. No, the language, notice, is we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, that we were all given the same Spirit to drink. That is the case for all believers, for every true Christian. And we learned last week that a Christian is someone who can say from their heart, Jesus is Lord, someone who is living with Jesus as Lord of their lives. If you are not in that place, but you would love to find out more about what it means to live with Jesus as Lord, I would love to talk to you, I'm sure, John, Natasha, and anyone else around on the team would love to do that. So everyone who has the Spirit, everyone who is living with Jesus as Lord, Paul's saying, look, you are united together as one body. One body with every Christian throughout the world in all places, but also one body in every local manifestation of church, what we might call a local church, like Emmanuel. One body. And in fact, so much does he want us to know this, that six times in those three verses, he says, we are one. Why? Why keep on repeating it? Well, if you read the opening chapters of 1 Corinthians, you discover that this church is a church full of divisions. Some were preferring to follow one particular leader, others another. There were social, economic divisions among them as well. Just back in chapter 11, just before this, we hear that at communion, there were some Christians who were bringing a massive meal and others who were left hungry. So there's division. And Paul is therefore saying, look, you are one body, one church, united by one spirit. And I wonder where that reminder might be helpful for us this evening. It's easy, I think, in a big church, to effectively, not deliberately, but to perhaps by accident, split into particular groupings and not mix much outside of those groups. So perhaps you have, just think about it for yourself, you have a number of close friends at Emmanuel, praise God for that, but you realize actually what unites you is actually that you're similar. So similar social background, similar ethnicity, maybe similar stage of life. Now, great to have those kind of friendships, but not great if they're the sum total of our experience, of our engagement with one another as a body. So I wonder if that might be a word for some this evening. Where might you need to broaden out, perhaps, who it is you engage with, who it is you build friendship with, to embrace the whole diverse body? Or maybe it is that you actually spend most time with people who have particular interest to you at church. And again, who can you get to know who shares nothing like that in common? Completely different interests, but is together in one body with us. Just take a moment. I mean, look around. Literally, let's look around at one another right now. God has given us this gloriously diverse body. Just look, a wonderful uniqueness, a gift that God has given to one another, for one another. One body, Paul says, with many parts. And therefore, he gives a couple of implications of that for different groups of people in the church who might be struggling with different things. So first he says, you're one body with many parts, therefore don't look down on yourself, play your part. Look with me at verse 15. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. It seems there were some Christians in Corinth who basically had concluded, they looked around at others and they had effectively thought, look, I'm not needed here. I just haven't got something that I can contribute. They were saying to themselves, look, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, because I'm not an eye, I don't have that particular gift, I don't belong to the body. So they looked at all the spiritual gifts around them, and there were many in Corinth. In fact, at the beginning of the letter, Paul says, you do not lack any spiritual gift that you need. So he looked around at the gifts, and they thought, basically, I'm surplus to requirements. And I just wonder if that describes how anyone here this evening is feeling in any way about your place in church life. Again, it's a big church. There is perhaps a particular danger of this. Maybe you look around at people at church who are brilliant at welcoming others, and we've got people like that, praise God for you. But you look at them, they're just so great at drawing others in, and you think, that's just not me. Perhaps it's just not you by temperament, you're just more introverted. That's fine, that's wonderful, that's how God's made you. But you think, well, that couldn't be me. And so you're kind of counting yourself out of making a contribution. Or maybe it's that you feel less valuable because you're in a church, and let's face it, we are surrounded by gifted musicians and technical people. Again, praise God for each one of you, but it's like me, I look at both of those things and I think I just never could be up here with those folk. I never could be operating this without it all falling apart. Well, whatever the comparison is for you that is causing you to feel like that, can I say to you, maybe you feel you're identifying with these Christians in Corinth, thinking, because I'm not this, I don't belong to the body. But just notice with me how Paul addresses that thinking. Verse 15, now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. There's this sense in what Paul is saying, look, just because you don't feel like it right now, it doesn't actually make you any less vital a part of the body. And now I know a number of you, like me, have been to escape rooms. There's one in central Croydon. If you don't know, it's where you gather with a group of friends and you spend an hour and you've got to try and get out of a room through solving various puzzles and following the clues. It's great fun when you throw yourself into it, well worth doing. But I'll admit, the first couple of times, I didn't enjoy it very much. And it's because I realized I was with a couple of people who were just brilliant lateral thinkers. So these crazy clues, and I just could not fathom at all what they were getting at. And they were, like, right on it. And so I just, to be honest, the first couple of times, I just sort of, okay, you get on with it, and sort of sat in the corner a bit. It took until the third time I played that I realized that actually, you only do have limited time, and there is a need for the person who just kind of doggedly goes around searching under every little nook and cranny to find the next kind of clue that's needed for the lateral thinking people. So only once I started to contribute that I actually felt part of it, that I actually enjoyed it. And sometimes it can be a bit like that in how we relate to a church family. So this evening, if you are, as it were, looking down on yourself, doubting you can contribute, I just love you to hear the grace in these words. Verse 18, Paul writes, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Aren't those just brilliant words? God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. I want to say to you this evening, if you're feeling, I don't know how I can contribute, God has not made a mistake in making you as you. Okay? In the unique personality, the unique temperament, the unique gifts that he has given to you. And he also hasn't made a mistake by placing you in Emmanuel. That is where you are in his sovereignty. He has brought you here, placed you as a part of the body, including you, every one of us, just as he wants us to be. Now, there's going to be an opportunity after this sermon to, in a more extended time than normal, to think about the part that you might play, and over the next couple of weeks as well, the unique contribution you can make to church life. So please don't count yourself out. Embrace that time as a time to do business with the Lord, to see how he's called you to be part of his family. So church is one body with many parts, so don't look down on yourself, play your part. And then church is one body with many parts, and so Paul then addresses another group of people, very different attitudes here, but also at present in the church. One body with many parts. So don't look down on others. Value their unique gifts. Look with me from verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. It seems that there were Christians in Corinth who were acting as if there were parts of the Christian family, the body, that were not needed. Is essentially what they're saying. I have no need of you. That is what probably they weren't saying, but they were feeling, thinking. And as you read through 1 Corinthians, it becomes clear that there was this mentality among them that highly prized things like great rhetorical skills, intelligence, dramatic spiritual gifts. In fact, this is one of the reasons they were struggling with the Apostle Paul, because he didn't actually seem to be that great a speaker, and they were struggling with that. They prized things like that, and things like healing, speaking in tongues. Their mentality was, look, that's where the real spirituality is, in places like that. And if you don't possess one of those kind of gifts, then you don't really fully contribute to the life of the body. But Paul is having none of it. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Indispensable. I wonder if that is how you and I feel about one another. Do we look around and see one another and think, indispensable? All with unique gifts and contributions to bring. Perhaps it's easy for us, frankly, to think of some people as indispensable. Maybe even if we're brutally honest with ourselves, some of us might be in the place of thinking of ourselves as indispensable. And it's really easy to slip into that kind of mindset that sees certain gifts, certain roles as more important than others. And so in some sense, in our hearts, to look down on those who aren't in that place, who possess different gifts. So I wonder if we can just ask ourselves right now, do I, in my heart of hearts, think that there are some gifts that are more needed for the church than others? Do I, if I'm really honest, look around at people and conclude that we don't really need their contributions to church life? I think there's a danger of all of us, for all of us in doing that at times. And if that is us this evening, there's a chance to confess that in the silence of our hearts through this service as we do business with God in our time response later. Why not pray for one another? Why not pray this evening? Thank you, Lord. Thank God for one another, for the unique gifts that we bring. And then why not pray as well that we would become more and more the kind of church beautifully pictured in verses 24 and 25. He writes, God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Wouldn't that be glorious if that sounded more and more increasingly like us as Emmanuel? One body with many parts. So don't look down on yourself, play your part. Don't look down on others, value their unique gifts. And lastly, because church is one body, the final verses say, eagerly desire the gifts that will bless your church, that will bless the body. Verse 21, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now we're not going to look at the meaning of any of those right now. We're going to return to them in 2 weeks' time. But I do want to draw attention to something that I think is really significant here. You may have noticed that in this list, if you're reading carefully from last week as well, this list here, there is a lot of crossover with the list that we got of spiritual gifts back in verses 8 to 10, but they aren't identical. In fact, that is true of every passage listing spiritual gifts in the New Testament. There's some crossover, but there's variety as well. You've got a sheet that you were given on the way in. We don't need to look at it right now, but it will be useful for us as we come into our time response. But if you were glancing at it earlier, it's all the spiritual gifts explicitly named in the New Testament. And you see there, there's just a huge number of gifts. Now, they're not all mentioned in all the same places. And that is presumably because even a list that large is not an exhaustive way of describing all the spiritual gifts that God has given to his church. And that makes sense, doesn't it, if we think about this image of the body with many parts, all of which are equally indispensable. So administration is listed as a spiritual gift, which is just as crucial as evangelism or prophecy. Now, if you work in the church team, you will know how crucial administration is. Those of us who struggle with it are so grateful for those who oil the wheels of so much in church life. Or maybe you look at hospitality and giving, and they are essential, just as essential to the health of the church as leadership. It's a great reminder as we look at that list that God has given each one of us unique gifts all together for the good of the body. And that is how this passage closes, with a great encouragement for us that will take us in, I pray, to the rest of our time this evening. Paul writes, verse 31, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And chapter 14, when we come to it, we'll begin in a similar way. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. In a few minutes' time, John is going to introduce this longer time response. We're going to have times like this this week, the next couple of weeks as well. And there's an opportunity to seek more of the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given to us. And we want to do that with the attitude of verse 31. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, greater gifts there is probably Paul's way of just trying to shift the dial slightly for the Corinthians and say, don't focus quite so much on pursuing, you know, the dramatic things. They are part of what the Lord has given. But speaking in tongues, he's going to say, without anyone interpreting, doesn't actually build anyone up apart from you. So he's saying, eagerly desire the gifts that will build one another up. The gifts that will just be right for you to bless your church family. And so that's the spirit in which we want to approach these next few minutes. Not desiring the gifts that will make us feel best, but seeking, desiring just those gifts that will most bless and strengthen one another. So let me just lead us in a prayer for that, and then John will take us into the rest of our time. Father in heaven, we praise you for this glorious picture of one body with many parts, each equally indispensable to one another. And so, Father, we pray, come Holy Spirit in this time. We pray particularly you would come for any who are feeling as if they don't have a gift to bring this evening. Might you open our hearts to see what it is that you're inviting us into, the part that you're inviting us to play. So we pray, come Holy Spirit, work among us and minister in our hearts, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.